But ask you to turn again to that passage of Scripture that we read earlier, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12, the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And with God's Word open before us, let us bow, please, in a short word of prayer. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word tonight. We thank that Thy Word is truth, that it is forever settled in heaven, and that, Lord, Thou hast promised to use Thy Word even to the salvation of souls. Lord, may it be so in our meeting tonight that through the going forth of Thy Word, Thou wilt make some soul or some souls tonight in this gathering wise unto salvation, we pray. Cleanse me now afresh in the precious blood of Christ. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God, and glorify the Savior, in whose name we do pray and ask all these things. Amen. Our text for this evening is the verse number 20 of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12. Let me read that verse to you again. It says, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" Now in our Bible reading this evening, the Lord tells the parable of the rich fool. And the Lord speaks this parable as a warning against the sin of covetousness. Read in the chapter how there is a man who comes to the Lord, and he asks the Lord to intervene in a family dispute over an inheritance. And you can be sure whenever a dispute arises in a family, and most often it is always around money, around someone's inheritance. This was the case with this family. And with this dispute, this man was greatly concerned about his wealth, about his possessions, about his material gain. Now, in dealing with this man, the Lord warns him about the sin of covetousness. And you see that in particular in verse 15 of the chapter, where it says of the Lord, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Now, this is a warning that God's people also need to heed, as well as those who are unsaved. Because covetousness is something that can blight a believer's testimony. In Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse 5, you have the Apostle Paul there writing to the Lord's people. And this is what he says to them. He says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have." You see, covetousness can keep the believer away from the house of the Lord. Covetousness can keep the believer away from the public place of prayer. It can ruin their testimony in business and their testimony before the world. Hence, the believer is warned against covetousness taking over their life. But following this warning about covetousness, the Lord then relates the parable of the rich fool. It tells of this particular man who was a farmer. He did well in his business. He was ambitious to expand his enterprise. But sadly, this man was only concerned about his material gain. He gives no consideration to the eternal well-being and the eternal welfare of his soul. And when we come to verse 20, our text, this is the Lord's verdict upon this man, and upon his life, and upon his ambitions. Look at our text, notice what it says, and the Lord here is speaking. He says, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" You'll see there that God uses strong language. He calls this man a fool. And then suddenly this man is taken from this scene of time and he perishes in his sin. You know, men and women, young people and boys and girls in our meeting tonight, this rich fool is a picture of many tonight in our society. My such live only for the here and now.
They live only for the things of time and sense. They do not give God a thought. They do not consider Christ or their great need of their salvation. And they die in their sin. And their soul is eternally lost in a lost sinner's hell. And it's for that particular reason that I want us just to look tonight at this rich fool that the Lord mentions in this parable. And if you're in the meeting tonight and you're still not saved, I pray that as we would look at this man, you would be made wise unto your salvation. There are three things I want you to note simply and briefly about this man tonight. Notice, first of all, his deception. Look again at how verse 20, our text begins. It says, "But God said unto him, Thou fool." Here you see the God of heaven who knows all things, who is immortal, who is the God only wise. He calls this man a fool. And there was a reason for that. You see, in the Bible, in the Word of God, the word fool is used to describe someone who is not saved. Someone who lives only for sin and for self. You think of the testimony of the Apostle Paul before he was saved. He speaks of his life to Titus. And this is what he says. He says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." He says, "We ourselves also were sometimes foolish." That's how Paul described his life before his conversion to Christ. It was a foolish life. Therefore, this man here in our parable tonight is one who lived only for self. He is one who lived only for sin. He is one who lived only for the pleasures of this world. This is why God called him a fool, and this was his deception. He lived only for sin, for the things of the world, and the pleasures of this world. You'll see there from the passage before us in his deception, he made the things of this life his gods. Look at verses 18 and 19 of the chapter. As the Lord speaks about him, he says, "And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." The things of this life were this man's gods. In all his reckoning there is no mention of God in this man's life. God does not come into the equation. It does not come into his thinking. Here's a man and he's trying to shut God out of his life. Dear friend, in our meeting tonight, let me ask, is this a picture of you? As you sit in this gospel service here tonight in Market Hill Free Presbyterian Church, is it the case that the things of this world, the pleasures of this world, the sins of this world, are these the gods in your life? Are these the gods that you serve? Is it the case that these are the things that come first in your life? Is it the case that there is no room for God in your life? God is far down the list of priorities in your heart and life and soul. Why, the hymn writer says, room for pleasure, room for business. But for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in your heart for which he died. My friend, is that a picture of you as you sit in this meeting tonight? Notice something else further about this man's deception. Also in his deception, this man, he thought that the riches of this world could satisfy the longing and the need of his soul. You look again at the language he uses in verse 19 of the chapter. He says, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years." Here's a man and he thinks that material things can satisfy the spiritual need, the need of his heart and the need of his soul. How wrong he was in his thinking. You see, the Bible tells us, "For the things which are seen are temporal. They do not last. They are fleeting. They are transitory." My friend, is this how it is with you tonight also in our meeting? Is the thinking of your heart that the things of this world can meet the need of your heart, the need of your soul? Man, woman, young person, please understand that the things of this world cannot meet the need of your never-dying, precious soul. They cannot meet the need of your heart and your soul. Understand that this evening. The Lord emphasized that same truth in Mark's Gospel chapter 8 when he said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The things of this world can do nothing for your soul." You think of that woman in the Bible known as the woman of Samaria, who tasted the things of this world, who lived for the things of this world, but those pleasures could do nothing for her heart. They could do nothing for her soul. Friend, understand tonight that the things of this world are no good to your heart. They're no good to your soul. Notice something further about this man's deception. Also, we can say that this man's deception, it meant that he presumed upon a long life. Look again at what he says in verse 19. He says, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up," notice it, "for many years." He presumed on a long life. How foolish he was. For none of us know how long we shall live. The Bible speaks of man in the book of James and says, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away." Watch your kettle boil. The vapor is there for a few seconds, and then it is gone. And that's what our life is like. And none of us know how long we have to live. Not one of us. This man was fooled into thinking that he had many days or many years. He says, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years." He thought all was well in the garden and that many years lay ahead of him. You notice something further about this man's deception tonight. Also, this man's deception is seen in the fact that in all his reckoning here, in all his thinking, there is no consideration of Christ in his life. My, in all his thinking and reckoning, he never once here mentions the Lord as he speaks to himself, as he speaks about himself, and as he speaks to his heart and to his soul. Not once does he mention Christ. His life was void of Christ. It was empty of Christ. There's no place for Christ in this man's life. Friend, is that a picture of you in this meeting tonight? Are you here in this meeting and you presume on a long life? You may say, I'm well tonight, I'm fit, I'm healthy. I've many days ahead of myself. I've many years ahead of myself. Is that your thinking? Let me ask tonight, is your life void of Christ tonight? You think, yes, about many other things, but you do not think of Christ. There's no place in your heart and life for Christ. You've never sought Him for salvation. You've never cried to the Lord to save your soul. You've never asked the Lord to pardon and blot out your sin. Man, woman, young person, is this a description of you in this meeting tonight? Friend, if it is, if that's a picture of you, and I want you to listen what God has to say to you tonight, and what God says is what really counts. He says to you in our text tonight, "Thou fool." You see, it's a foolish thing to live without Christ as your Savior. Without Christ, there can be no salvation for you. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." People today talk about being wise. But a man, a woman, a young person who lives without Christ is foolish. They are the devil's fool. If that's you in this meeting tonight, God speaks to you tonight. He speaks to your heart through His Word. And He says, "Thou fool." Oh, this man's deception. Notice secondly tonight, not only his deception, notice his death. Notice what the Lord says about his death in verse number 20, our text. It says, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?
You notice very carefully the words that Jesus uses there. He tells us that on the very same night of that man, making all his plans and all his intentions, he was going to die. God says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. He was going to die that very night. And these words show God's displeasure upon this man. Why was God displeased? He was displeased because of his sin. God was displeased because this man failed to repent of his sin. He failed to turn to Christ and to seek Christ for salvation. Unsaved friend in our meeting tonight, let me say it's the same with you. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. Your sin displeases God. All sin is grieving to God. My, the Bible also says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Your rejection of Christ, your failure to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it incurs, it provokes the wrath of God Almighty upon you. I believe it's also important here to note that this man's death was sudden. It was unexpected. For the Lord said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. It would appear from what this man said beforehand that everything was well. He was in the prime of life. He had many plans. He had many schemes. He had many intentions. He never thought of death. Death was coming for him that night suddenly and unexpectedly. My death would come when he would least expect. When he would least expect, he was going to be summoned out before the judgment bar of Almighty God. I want you to listen tonight to what the Word of God says in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 29 and the verse 1, it says this, he that been often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. There you have God's solemn warning in his word to the unrepentant sinner who refuses Christ and salvation. Death can come upon them suddenly, swiftly, unexpectedly. One, see a friend in our meeting tonight, be warned. He that is often reproved and hardened of his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, the Bible says, and that without remedy. Friend in our meeting tonight, it could well be the case that this night, this Sabbath day, this first Sabbath of November 2015, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. It could well be the case, friend, that your day of grace, your day of opportunity is soon coming to an end. It is soon drawing to a close. You see, God says in his word that my spirit shall not always strive with man. God, yes, speaks once. He speaks twice. He may speak many times to your soul. But God says there's a time will come when he will cease to speak. When his spirit will strive no more with your heart. Friend, it could well be the case that death could lay his cold, chilling hand upon you this very night, just as it did for this rich farmer in this parable. You think of the words of King David. He said, there is but a step between me and death, just one step. And friend, understand tonight, you're just a step away from death. That's how it is. Yes, like this man in this parable, death can come upon you. Yes, most unexpectedly, most suddenly, it may come. You think last week to that young couple that were married up in Hollywood on their honeymoon down in South Africa, all of life before them. And by a tragic accident, as it would seem in the sea, a young man and his young wife, both of them taken out into eternity in the prime of life. News the other day, we were told of a young boy at school, just 16 years of age, up in Aberdeen, through an incident. His life gone, taken from him by an act, a sinful act of another.
Men and women in the midst of life, we are in death. You may make your plans for tomorrow. You may make your plans for next week. But you have no guarantee that you will bring those plans to fruition. You have no guarantee that those plans will come to pass. I believe it's also important to note here tonight about this man that he died amidst his wealth. Look again at verse number 19. He says, "Soul, thou hast much goods." He had much goods. He had many riches. He had much wealth. But it didn't stay the hand of death. Friend, please realize tonight that wealth, money, estate cannot stop death coming upon you. There's people who think that they can buy time, that they can stay the hand of death, but those things cannot prevent the day of your death. They cannot prevent your decease and your demise from this scene of time. You listen to the words of Solomon, the wise man, as he writes in Ecclesiastes 6 and verse 1. He says, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for a soul of all that he desireth. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease." And there Solomon tells us how death visits the rich man, just like the poor man. Riches cannot stay the hand of death. Friend, you might as well try and run from yourself as try to run away from death. No matter who you are tonight, please understand, you cannot prevent death from coming upon you. You see, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Oh, the deception of this man. The death of this man that came suddenly, swiftly. God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." One final thought I want you to note tonight. His destiny. What was his destiny? Look at verse number 21, the verse after our text. And notice very carefully what the Lord Jesus says about this man. Luke chapter 12, verse 21. The Lord here is specifically commenting upon this man in the parable. And he says, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Notice those words, "is not rich toward God." This man was not rich toward God when he died. Therefore, he died in his sin. He died unrepentant, without Christ as Savior, without God's salvation. And in death, his soul went out into a lost eternity in hell itself. For that is the end of all who leave this world not rich toward God. Why, his destiny was similar to that of another rich man that you can read about. Just turn the page a little bit over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. In fact, there are some Bible commentators and they would suggest this is the very same man in Luke 16 that the Lord speaks of earlier in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12. And look at what the Bible says about this man in verse number 22 and verse number 23 of Luke chapter 16. It says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom, into the presence of the Lord in heaven." And then it says, "The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments." That was the destiny of this rich man. He died, and he lift up his eyes, being in torments, in a lost sinner's hell. And what a place hell is. It's a place of torment. Place of everlasting pain, everlasting anguish, everlasting woe. Look at verse 24 there of Luke chapter 16. "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." It's a place where you will be tormented forever and ever. Place of everlasting pain. Notice again verse number 26 of Luke chapter 16 is a place from which there is no escape. It says, and beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. There is no escape from hell. There's no purgatory. There is no limbo land. When a person goes to hell, they are in hell forever, evermore. Friend, in our meeting tonight, let me warn you. We say it in love to your soul. This will be your eternal destiny. If you die in your sin, if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, if you die without God's salvation, you see the Word of God says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you are not rich toward God when you come today, and friend, that's all that really matters when you come today. It's this, if you are rich toward God. But if you are not rich toward God by repenting of your sin and you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, then your soul will be lost in hell forever. Soul will be tormented there forever and ever in a lost sinner's hell. I'm not asking you tonight what you have in the bank. I'm not really interested. I'm not asking you tonight what you have by way of material gain or material estate. I'm not really interested. Friend, I'm asking you tonight, are you rich toward God? Have you repented of your sin? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Friend, in light of this awful destiny, if you're not saved tonight, I point you to the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. John spoke to the Jews of Christ about this, and he says, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son, he is the only one that can make you rich toward God. I want you to see that tonight. Christ is the only one that can make you rich toward God. The Bible speaks of God and Christ and says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And through the atoning sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the atoning blood that he shed freely for sinners upon the cross of Calvary, you can know your sins forgiven, all your sins forgiven, all your sins blotted out. The Bible speaks of Christ and says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You can be healed and saved tonight from your sin through the sacrifice of Christ, the Lamb of God. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, he died the just for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God. All your sins, whatever those sins are, can be forgiven and blotted out through the blood of Christ. Through Christ's perfect righteousness and perfect obedience, you can obtain acceptance with God. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, we are accepted in the Beloved. Knowing Christ as Savior, you can be saved from a lost eternity. You can have the blessed assurance in your heart of eternal life and a home in heaven. The Bible declares the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, your life can be changed by the power of God divine. The Bible says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. How do you be made rich toward God? By trusting Christ as your Savior. By repenting of your sin, acknowledging your need as a lost sinner before God. Fleeing to Christ. Accepting Christ. Receiving Christ by faith to be your Savior. By calling upon him for salvation. The Bible speaks of Christ and says he is able to save to the uttermost All that come unto God by him. That word uttermost means eternal. Forevermore he can save you. If you will call upon the Lord, tell me tonight, have you called upon the Lord? Have you trusted Christ to be your Savior? Is he this evening the refuge of your soul for time and for eternity? Just over 40 years ago, South Vietnam fell to the communists. Whenever that event took place, it is estimated that over 250,000 people fled from the country and found refuge in other countries across the world from communism at that time. But friend, there is only one refuge for your soul. There's only one hope for your soul. Where is that place? It's in the person and in the work of Christ. The sacrifice of Christ upon the cross of Calvary. He is the one that you must look to if you are to be rich toward God, if you're to be sure of heaven, if your sins are to be blotted out, if it is to be well with your soul for time and for eternity. And the good news of the gospel is this: Christ invites you to come. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." The hymn writer, speaking of Christ, says, "Sinners, Jesus will receive." We've looked at this man tonight. He had many things by way of material gain. But you know, really, if you sum up his life, he was the poorest of the poor. Because there was no place for God, no place for Christ, no salvation in his life. He's here in the Word of God as a warning light to you. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl not saved. To be rich toward God, you need to come to Christ. Have your sins put away by the blood of the Lamb. And be saved by God's grace for time and for all of eternity. Let us bow together, please, in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence again this evening hour in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy presence with us, Lord, and for thy precious word, how it is a warning to our hearts, a warning to our souls to prepare to meet thee and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Lord, we thank thee for every soul in this meeting that has heeded that warning from God. But Lord, for those in our meeting, be the old, be the young, and Lord, they've never yet come to Christ. Oh Lord, we pray tonight that they will heed the Lord's warning voice, that they'll make the Lord their final choice. Then all heaven will rejoice. Oh, may sinners tonight be in time before it is forever too late. Here in heaven, thy dwelling place, part us with thy fear and favor. Take us to our separate homes in safety and speak on tonight with the still small voice of God while the voice of man is silent. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory and praise. Amen.